Well, I invite you to turn with me to the passage that we read earlier. That's Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. And a particular verse the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight is verse 10. Verse 10. And the verse reads, "Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is defiled, it shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction." Well, the word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth in the days that spanned over the reign of three Judean kings: Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. His ministry lasted somewhere between 20 to 25 years, which is surprising due to the messages he had to deliver to a sinful people. The prophet's role was to declare, "A thus saith the Lord." The messages weren't his own, but they were directly from the Lord. As he heard the word that came to him, he delivered it. God is the chef, and Micah was simply the waiter. And in chapter 3, verse 8, Micah writes, But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." That's what the role of Micah was. And the main overarching theme of the book of Micah is therefore judgment, but also forgiveness. There's hope for a remnant. 500 years of rebellion, and Micah has come to declare to a disobedient people in chapter 1, verse 3, reads, "For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The Lord's patience has come to a point where the Lord must act upon the sin of the northern kingdom and the south," and particularly the south, "because the people were continually bent on committing evil before the Lord. They have walked away from the commandments of God. They have walked away from the Lord God Almighty and served themselves." And so God in his wrath raised up Assyria, and later on Babylon, as his rod to purge the wickedness and ungodliness among the kingdoms. But he would preserve a remnant in the midst of the disaster. But what were the sins of the people and the powerful leaders who misused their authority? Well, there was idolatry among the people, devising iniquity and working out evil on their beds. And we read that, didn't we, in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "And work out evil on their beds, and at morning light they practice it." And so when we simply sum that up, it was premeditated sin. what was happening in the midst of the people, working out evil on their beds. And this is how serious their sins have got. They also covet people's fields. And so they were guilty of covetousness. And what is that? It is the desire to have wealth or possessions of someone else. But also, in order to get what they covet, they enter into violence. They seize houses and oppress man and his inheritance. They rejected truth. They rejected what Micah presented to them. They also preferred false prophets who told what their itching ears wanted, and in the process tried to silence Micah. They wanted to hear God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, instead of the truth that actually exposes their corrupt hearts, which would lead them to true repentance and true faith. There was corrupt civil leadership. The failure of the religious establishment and corrupt business practices. And not only that, but look what the people were doing in verse 8 of chapter 2. It says, doesn't it, lately my people have risen up as an enemy. That's the summary of what was going on in Micah's day. They became as what is known as an enemy. What were they doing? You cut off the robe with the garment from those who trust you as they pass by, like men returned from war. That's what they were doing to one another in their hearts. The people of God. Destroying each other's lives. Look at verse 9. The women of my people you cast out. From their pleasant houses, from their children, you have taken away my glory forever. And notice in verse 8 and in verse 9, it's rendered as my people, and my people again in verse 9. They're turning in on themselves. And oppression is all around the people. And our land, brothers and sisters, is no different. There's corruption in the UK government. There's failure in the local church. There's corruption in small businesses and large businesses. And so those who use their positions of power for personal gain, they will come to a point where the Lord must exercise his justice before men. Because there comes a time that the Lord will say, enough is enough. So with that general idea of what was going on in Micah's day, I do want to draw our attention to verse 10. Because that is what the Lord has somewhat pressed upon me. And the title of the message is simply this, and it's stated in the text. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. We will see tonight that this word is a word of departure. Arise and depart, It's a word that reveals the reason for departure, an incorrect destination for rest. It will also show us the reason for not being the correct destination for rest. It's defiled. And because it's defiled, it will also show us what it will do. It shall destroy. And firstly, I want us to see the command to depart. It's a word of departure, isn't it? We have two imperatives. They're not suggestive, but two imperative commands. To arise and depart. In simple terms, get up and go. That's basically what it's saying. Clear up and clear off, we might say. In its immediate context, the people of Micah's day have rejected the word of God through Micah. And they've tried to silence him, especially the false prophets. But also the oppressors have seized lands and homes and cast out women of my people. And the women of my people simply can be understood as widows. Unfair treatment to widows. They were not treating widows rightly according to the word of God. And so what he is saying is basically, have a taste of your own medicine. Leave the land, go into exile, go into captivity. Captivity awaits you, it is just around the corner. Assyria is coming. Babylon is coming. That's what the consequences of their sins would be. If they didn't repent of their sins. Micah is basically saying, you cast the people out, you will be cast out yourselves. The consequences of the oppression in Micah's day was exile. And what comes around, goes around. One commentator says, the prophet has had enough. And he now explodes with anger. You can imagine being in Micah's day, seeing all this going on before him. We're talking years and years and years of sin. And Micah is telling them to arise and depart. You who oppress the poor and needy, be gone. Their consequences of their covetousness and greed and preferring false prophets and these false prophets who wouldn't sound the alarm would be departure. It's a gracious warning from the Lord, is it not, dear friends? It's a gracious warning. This is why we have it. To be a warning for us. He's given them a warning of the impending judgment that is soon to come. If only they would listen and repent. And dear, dear backslider this evening, is the Lord speaking to you this evening? Oh Lord, that these words would ring out in your ears and go further than that, deep into your heart. The words of arise and depart. Where do you find yourself tonight? Have you wandered away from the narrow way? The narrow pathway that leads to life. Have you gone astray? And have you fallen into into some of the things of this polluted world offers. You know your hearts. God knows our hearts. Have you been flirting with the things of the world and fallen in its practices? Maybe you have fallen into a particular sin like covetousness. Maybe something else, and it's a sin that you won't confess or repent of. There's a gracious warning to you, a gracious warning to me. Be anything we've fallen into. Oh, that a backslider would arise and depart from this corrupt world. But be careful, dear friend, as you hear this, and if you reject this, you may experience this, the very consequences of your sinful behaviour. You may find yourself being disciplined by the Lord, because the Lord does discipline those whom he loves. If you do not rise and depart from your backsliding, you may face discipline. Such a gracious warning from the Lord. When our mind and our hearts hear those words, arise and depart. Get up, believer, from your backsliding and depart. Leave what pollutes and hinders your walk with God. Maybe you are connected to something. A particular group. A particular club. Bad company that leads you into trouble. You know, feel that there is something wrong there. Something that you shouldn't be a part of. Maybe something in business or home life. Then this word may be for you. Arise and depart. Well, what's the reason to arise and depart? Well, it's found in the next line. For this is not your rest. For this is not your rest. The land was given to them, that was given to them, was meant to be a land of rest, wasn't it? But they had sinned greatly. Their sin had reached such a great height that no longer they would be able to rest in it. Because it's defiled. The time was coming where they would have to arise and depart because they were not in the destination of rest, because it would have been polluted by sin. And believer, this evening, this world is not your rest. This world is defiled. The reason for you to arise and depart from something that is defiled is because it's not your rest. You may even come to think, dear backslider, in your own hearts and minds, oh, I've found my rest. Because you have found some sort of comfort or some sort of tranquility. But I tell you tonight that it is false. If there's something you think you have found satisfaction in other than your Saviour, then I tell you, it is false. It's no place of true rest for you. True rest can't be found in the things of this world. There's corruption everywhere. Your possessions won't give you rest. They will rot. Your money won't give you rest. the false teachers here in chapter 2, they won't give you true rest. Think about the false teachers on our TVs that just speak lies, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, meaning that they will make their messages according to the people's fleshly lusts of greed and prosperity. Instead of saying, arise and depart from sin. Your government and your leaders won't give you rest. Your lusts won't give you rest. Nothing that is available in this corrupted world will ever give you rest. There's no resting place for you here. So don't expect it, beloved. Don't expect it. Do not expect to find rest in this world. There is only true rest found in the God-man, Christ, truly God and truly man. You cannot find rest in anything else. True spiritual rest for your souls lies in Christ. Remember the words in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30? What a wonderful invitation this is for us. Especially here tonight, the sinner. One of the greatest invitations that you'll ever hear in the whole entire of your life. And what does Jesus say? He says, come to me. Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's emphatic, isn't he? You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Your works won't save you. No. Oh, you may labour on. The true faith is to trust upon Jesus Christ alone. By faith. With that rest in Christ, we have, because we know that he has forgiven us of all our sins by his sacrifice on the cross, then we are to live with an expectant hope of heaven. And to live in such a way to be ready to arise and depart from this world into glory when the Lord calls us home. Our true place of rest is with him in glory in heaven, where there'll be no sin, there'll be no tears, no pain, no suffering. That is true rest. This world is not your home. You are just passing through. This is not your rest. And so don't live as it is. Do not live according to the very elementary principles of this world. But live for Christ. And to press on in Christ. This world cannot be your rest. We face many temptations. We war with the sinful nature. The fiery darts of the Satan are ever before us. Sin is all around us and within. Suffering, pain and loss and difficult circumstances that surround us. This is not your rest. This is not your rest. We live in a society that has found, don't we? It is defiled. It shall only destroy. Yes, with utter destruction, the text says. This earth will be destroyed. The people of Marcus' day couldn't rest in the land no more. It's unclean, polluted by their sin. The wealthy who use their power in ungodly ways, and so they oppress the people. Think of the wealthy today who oppress us in some form or way or another. And they do it for their own profit and own greed. Just to fund their high lifestyles. The false prophets couldn't give them rest. Their words were false. They told the people what they wanted to hear. They didn't want the bad news. That judgment is on the way. And all men and women need to repent from their sin against the Holy God. They didn't declare holy living. That wasn't upon their lips. Be ye holy, for I am holy, wasn't on their lips. They probably would have thought that they were saved just because God gave them the land. They were probably saying, oh, we'll be okay. God is for us. But their living was in violation of the word of God. A people who won't walk uprightly before the Lord cannot expect blessing. They just wanted His grace and forgiveness while they were living how they wanted to live. They thought that they just could ride on God's grace. But they would come to find that, yes, He is graceful. Yes, He is forgiving. But also, God is also a judge. Think about the falsehood that's in our local churches, up and down our land. Men won't preach on sin. Men won't preach on hell. Men won't preach on God's wrath. Men won't preach on the holiness of God. When do you hear these words? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We don't. Hardly a reality today in some of the churches. Men just preach based upon what people desire to hear. They are the real prattlers. Not Micah. Micah gave them a warning of the impending judgment. Think about those preachers who are full of greed and preach prosperity as they hop onto their private jets. And go and preach a fake gospel. And get people to give to uphold their crooked lifestyle. Leading themselves and the people to utter destruction. Be careful who you listen to. In your own time. At home. These false teachers couldn't give them rest. These teachers failed to tell them the truth. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Beloved, don't make anything your rest here, because it's defiled. It shall destroy with utter destruction. You have to live in this world and do business in the world, but you're not of this world. Because Christ is your rest. And are called to live according to his holy word and to press on in Christ. They're difficult words to hear, aren't they? But hear them we must. There comes a time when God has enough and he will send forth the oppressors of his people who have oppressed them so greatly. They will say, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. But we also must apply as well, I think, friends, as I've already applied in the sermon, to the backslider. You know your own heart, so know mine. But the things of this world are not our rest. And we are to arise and depart from anything that would defile us. How about you, sinner? Is there any hope for you? Well, there was a hope in Micah's day. There was forgiveness for the remnant. We see that in verse 12, don't we? In verse 13, the Lord says, I will surely assemble all you, O Jacob, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. There'll be a time when Israel will be restored and return to the land. And the Lord, like the great shepherd, would gather his children. And dear sinner, this morning, this may be a text for you. To arise and depart from this world. For this is not your rest. Spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. And Christ came into the world, took on human flesh, and there he came with that primary mission, and that was to go to the cross at Calvary. Why did he go to the cross at Calvary? To die, to pay the price. He endured the very wrath of God himself, so that me and you shall not endure the very wrath of God. He has freed us from the bondage of sin. And on the cross, there is forgiveness, where he shed his own blood. It is only Christ who can forgive you. It's only Christ who can wash away all your sins. And there, at the cross, as he bled and as he died, as he endured the very wrath of God, his great love for his people was made known. And would it be made known in your heart this evening? That you can have every sin wiped clean, all your iniquity gone, all your covetousness gone in the Lord. Every sin, the Lord dealt with it on the cross at Calvary as he endured the very wrath of God. And he rose from the grave. As he defeated sin, hell and death, he arose. And you too will rise as well. Rise from the grave. Oh, sinner, would you arise and depart. Arise and depart from this world. That you would arise and depart from your sins. And trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you'd repent from all your iniquity. And turn to Christ, the one who can only forgive. Oh, this is not your rest. The true rest is in Christ. Christ has saved his people from their sins. They will not experience the destruction in hell. They have been saved, snatched, rescued from the fires of hell. Oh, that you would come and trust upon this Saviour. That you would arise and depart. Well, I'll leave you with these words. May these words be a warning to us. May these be a comfort to us. And let us live according to the word of God by his grace. Amen.